Mila Pekudia Mishkan Mishkan or Edus. So the Pasuk says that this is the Pekudia Mishkan Mishkan or Edus Asher Pukad Al Pi Moshe Avodas Halevim Biyad Yisomer Ben Aaron HaKohen. So we know there are several things that are merumas in this Pasuk, and they seem to be contradictory in Chazal. Number one, Chazal tell us that this Mishkan, it says, Behei Yediya Eila Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan. What's the double Lashon HaMishkan? And then it says Mishkan. So just say Eila Pekudei Mishkan HaEdus. What's HaMishkan? So we have one Chazal that tells us that Hei Yediya, Hei always is a way of superimposing something. Behei Yediya. So Chazal tell us that this Mishkan, HaMishkan, this is the Mishkan, this never got destroyed. This is the Mishkan that never got destroyed. And we're taught by Chazal that till today, the Mishkan is around. Wherever it is, we don't know where it is exactly, obviously. But somewhere buried, the Mishkan is around. The Medrash goes on, Shema Toimer, you may think, Ovet Sikuyam, it's lost. There's no hope for it anymore. No, we still have it. It's available, we have it, it's here. That's the Chazal. Just on that Chazal alone is difficult. What does it mean the Mishkan's here? What's here, the wood? That would be like saying the stones of the destroyed Beis HaMikdash is somewhere here. What value does that have? That what, that the wood is somewhere under the ground somewhere? It's not rotten. First of all, the Mishkan's never going to be reused anyway. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll have the Bayis HaShlishi. We're not going backwards. We're going forwards. The Mishkan's not going to be used anymore. So what does it even mean? What value does it have? The Sipponu asks a different question. The Sipponu says, assuming that the Mishkan, he's going with the assumption that there is something to this, that the Mishkan is still here. So he says, how is it that the Mishkan outlived the Beis HaMikdash? Beis HaMikdash was a binyan shel evan. It was a stone structure that had should have had unbelievable resistance. And that's gone. And the Mishkan is still here, the Mishkan which was made out of wood. I'd say shitim, that's still here. So he actually reads it into the Pasuk, the Sipponu. The Sipponu says, Eile pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan. This Mishkan survived. You know why it survived? Because it was Asher Pukar al Pi Moshe Biyadi Somach Ben Aaron HaKohen uBetzalel VeYoliyov. So the way he sees it, the Sipponu, is that the Torah is trying to tell you that this Mishkan lived because of what went into it, because of the purity. The Beis HaMikdash was put up there. They had Goyish architects. They had different craftsmen. Melachiram was involved. Beis HaMikdash didn't have the purity of the Mishkan. The Mishkan's architect was Moshe Rabbeinu. The lead craftsman was Bezalel and Eliyahu. With such purity, it could never be destroyed. That's how the Sipponu reads this puzzle. But again, it doesn't answer our question, which is, what does it mean it's still around? What value does it have to be still around? That is dismantled somewhere under the earth. What value does that have, Bechlal? Then we have another Chazal, which seemed to send us in the opposite direction. It seems to tell us that this Pasuk is actually sending us a negative message. And the Medrash asks a question, Eile pekudei HaMishkan Mishkan HaEdus? Why is it double? So again, one Medrash is saying it's double to tell you the praise and the pride of the Mishkan, that it's always here. But then we have another one. And this is found here in Rashi. Shnei Pomim. It says it twice. Rashi says, why? Remez lemigdash shenismashkein b'shnei chubonim aloin sheyem shel Yisrael. It's a remez, it's a hint for the two Beis HaMikdash, two Batei Mikdashes that got destroyed. That's the Chazal. So it seems the Chazal are pulling us in two opposite directions. One direction, Chazal are emphasizing to us that the Mishkan always lasted, and it never got destroyed. And the other Chazal are telling us that this pasuk is actually hinting to us that not only did we lose one Beis HaMikdash, we lost both Batei Mikdash. And the two times it says Mishkan here is a remez to those two Batei Mikdashes that ultimately got destroyed. Seems strange, above all, that one pasuk is being darshan by Chazal for the redundancy to tell you mamish opposite messages. So I'm going to try to combine the message that it's really chaloyim pari echadu, that it's really one. The pasuk says that they brought the Mishkan to Moshe at the end. They brought all the kelim, they brought everything to the Mishkan. And it says they brought it to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayokem Moshe sa Mishkan, vayitin es Adonov. Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead and he did all this work. So Chazal say, why does it say vayokem Moshe? So Rashi says a fascinating thing. He says, Vayoviyu es haMishkan el Moshe. Why did they bring the Mishkan to Moshe? So Rashi says as follows: Shelo yoyuchaylim laakimoy. They couldn't put it up. Now, if you study the craftsmanship of the Mishkan, the putting it up was the most simple part of it. The design was complicated. The whole complication of the design was to create a structure that easily assembles and disassembles. That's actually the complexity of the Mishkan. But the Mishkan itself, they moved it all the time. This happened, there's no chiddush here. The Mishkan got taken down and put up throughout the Midbar. All the Masois, twice taken down, put it together. The Yimei Miluim, when during the Shemoni Yimei Miluim, Chazal told us every day it was taken down and re-erected. So the Mishkan was a simple structure to put up and take down. But for some reason, Chazal is saying, they couldn't put it up. So they came to Moshe Rabbeinu. They brought the Mishkan to Moshe. Says Rashi, ulufi shelo yosa Moshe shum alucha b'mishkan. So Rashi seems to be saying this was a miracle. Since Moshe wasn't involved in the craftsmanship of the Mishkan, Hashem wanted Moshe to have a piece. So it sounds like the Rabbanu Shel Olam manipulated the situation in this way that Moshe should have his piece. So he niach le Hakadosh Baruch Hu akamosa. Hashem left it for Moshe Rabbeinu. Shelo yochol akim yishum adam. But then he says a strange thing, Rashi. So till here we'd say, okay, Hashem made a miracle. That the very first time to put up the Mishkan, the Rabbanu Shel made it impossible to put together. So in order that Moshe Rabbeinu should be able to put it up. That's Pashat how you read, how you learn Rashi. But then Rashi goes on to say, Oma Moshe Zehakadosh Baruch Hu, Eich Efshar Kamosa Al Yidei Adam. Can't put it up. I can't do it either. Oma loy asoik ata biyotcha v'nizkav v'kom me'elof. You try. You make with your hands like you're putting it up. But I'm taking care of it. Says Rashi, v'zehu shenemar hukam ha-mishkan hukam me'elof. The pasuk says the Mishkan got erected. It doesn't say he erected it. Because ultimately, the Rabbanu Shalom himself erected the Mishkan. What do you mean? What happened throughout the desert? This wasn't going on throughout the Midbar. Punked over here. And even when Rashi starts, he says it was specially done so Moshe should be able to have his peace. So then why, if it was done so Moshe should have his peace, so let Moshe do it. Turned out Moshe didn't even do it. Asayk biyotcha, just do something with your hands, and ultimately it's going to go up. So I want to share with you an idea that I heard from Rabbi Yankov Zatzal many years ago. And it ties into something I was telling the Talmidim in the Yeshiva. Recently we were learning about Achitofel. We're learning the Novi about Achitofel. And Achitofel, we know, was a brilliant man. I mean, the Novi says that if you went to ask him an Eitzah, it was Kedaber Isha Olekim. It was like you went to a Novi. Achitofel was a brilliant man. His track record was impeccable. You look today, you could have the best advisor. You look at any king, any president, they have many advisors. They have an advisor of economics, they have an advisor for security, they have an advisor, each department, they have a secretary of health, for whatever that's worth, right? They have, in each division, they have an advisor. Achitofel was David HaMelech's advisor in everything. Ruchnius, Kashmius, Mulchama, defense, agriculture, everything. Achitofel was a master. A master. Achitofel at the end falls down very hard. Chazal tells him, L'chiluk l'ilam abo. With all his glory, he falls all the way down. Avshalom, on the other hand, he ends up in Gan Eden. We're learning about Achitofel and Avshalom. Achitofel goes down, he's finished. Avshalom ends up in Olam Haba. Pasuk says that David HaMelech said seven times, B'ni, B'ni Avshalom, and he brought him to Gan Eden. Now, Tosfos already points out, David HaMelech couldn't bring Avshalom to Gan Eden unless Avshalom somehow deserved. So somehow, Achitofel, who you think is a giant, he goes all the way down. And Avshalom, who we would think we would put him in Gehenna, he goes up. What's the pshat? What's the pshat that he goes up? What's the cheshvin that he goes up? How does Avshalom go all the way up? What's pshat? So, I was telling the boys that there's a certain sherish. And everything goes to the root. Everything goes to the root. The root of the person. The Malbim says, Avshalom really, he didn't want to kill David. He wanted to be king. He would have been happiest, the Malbim says, if his father could have stayed alive. He would have liked David HaMelech to become the rabbi emeritus. You know, a lot of shuls have that. You have a rav, he's a rav for 50 years. You can't get rid of him. So you make him, he's still around. You make him the rabbi emeritus. You get a young rav and you tell the old rav, whatever you do, delicately tell him, it's just to have you here. And then you don't even have to speak. Your hashpah is felt without you speaking. In fact, it's felt even more when you don't speak. And the other rav, he's nishpa from you, whatever. There's many different ways to do it. David HaMelech, that's what Avshalom wanted. Avshalom wanted he should take over the kingdom. He didn't want to kill his father. And actually, that's why he didn't listen to Achitofel's advice. Achitofel said, let me go tonight and kill David. Hushai Erki was a much lower level advisor, David HaMelech's old friend. He gave a whole drawn out advice. We'll gather the whole nation together. And why did Avshalom lean? Because Avshalom didn't want to kill his father. He would have been much happier. His father should surrender the kingdom. He'll have a nice shepherd next to him. And he'll be the king emeritus. His father will be sitting there. And he'll be the melech. That nekuda of toiv, or at least the nekuda in him that didn't have rishis in it, that's what ultimately saved him. Because Chazal tell us, at the end, we know what happened. He was like a nozio. He had tremendous hair. And when he was traveling under the tree, that's how he got caught. Avshalom got caught in his hair. That's how they got him at the end. He was hanging by the tree over there from his hair. So Chazal say, why didn't, the man was a powerful guy, Avshalom. He had a sword right in his pocket. Why didn't he take it and cut off his hair? He would have been able to untangle himself. So Chazal is the kasha. So Chazal say, he saw Gehenna under him. He said, I'd rather not cut down, I'm going to hang here. So Tosfos explains that because he died in this terrible manner, David HaMelech was able to bring him to Olam Haba. So I explained to the boys, Avshalom realized that if he just gets away and ends up dying some regular natural cause, he won't be teaching anything to the world. By him dying this way, this crazy way, he became a symbol of what happens if you go off. That ended up being a schus for him to come out of Gehenna. The fact that he allowed himself, but this was all what I told the boys, the Musa Haskell here is, the guy is hanging by his hair. He has armies coming to get him, and he's thinking in his mind, I want to be saved from Gehenna, I'd rather die. That's a tremendous madrege, to be thinking along those lines then. But the pshat is because Avshalom had a nekuda of toiv. And when you have a nekuda of toiv in you, somehow it gets you. Nekudas ha-toiv can't be gotten rid of. Achi toifel, Chazal tell us, was everything was minasof of al-chutz. Internally was a disgraceful human being. His whole Torah, Chazal say, even his learning was minasof of al-chutz, was external. Everything was externality. There was no pnimius ta'achitev. He was just there for himself. Achitev ultimately commits suicide. Chazal say, why did he commit suicide? Because he knew if David comes back and David kills him, he's a murderer by Malchus. And he won't be able to be buried in a nice, respectable grave. He's thinking about his covet. If he kills himself before, he's not from the Haruge Malchus. And then he could get a vayikover bekever aviv. He thought of another thing. If David HaMelech kills him, the halacha is the moment goes to the Malchus. He didn't want the moment to go to the Malchus. So here you see such different rationale. Avshalom's hanging from the tree. He's thinking about Gan Eden and Gehenim and what'll be with him. And Achitofel is thinking about his reputation, his covet, and his money. And that's what makes him tick. And this is what makes Avshalom tick. It just shows you the root of the person ultimately comes out, no matter what matzav is. In the worst matzav, Avshalom came through. At the end, Chazal tells, he went to Gan Eden. The end is he went to Gan Eden.
If you commit suicide, isn't it true you don't get buried in the Jewish cemetery? Is this some halacha like that?
Not so posh. Not so posh. First of all, you know how many people are buried in the Jewish cemetery that take their own... There's always a rationale. The person really was ill. They really
maybe
didn't. Lamaisi, he was buried together with his fathers. He was buried with his fathers.
Can that explain the reaction of David HaMelech when he heard of the death?
Yeah. This explains everything. The Sherish was Toiv. I wanted to say, this also explains why David thanked Hashem. I always say over here in Sinai Bishitz. But this is another pshat. It says, Mizmo le David, b'brochay mimnei Avshalom b'noi. So the Gemara says in Brochas, he's saying a Mizmor. Kino le David, right? Your son is running after you to kill you. You say a Mizmor. So the Gemara says, David HaMelech said, I thought it would be a mamzer. Now that it's my son, he'll have Rachmanos on me. So if you understand, Abishad says, but he didn't have Rachmanos on him. But the way we're learning from the Malbim, he did. The reason why Avshalom didn't accept the advice of Achitofel, which was immediate killing David, was because he didn't really want David to die. And that's why he went with Hushayev, because he Taka didn't want him. So Taka was Chosalov. But anyway, getting back to the Mishkan. Rabbi Yankiv Zatzal said a beautiful word. He said, we know that a lot of times a person goes through a financial hardship, and they have to sell out. They have to sell out. They have to start selling off their belongings. Right? But everybody has something that they wouldn't sell, whether it's your house. Because that's my house. I'm not selling my house. It's so precious. Whether it's the Zaydis Becha, if you're a Chassidus Shehid, the Zaydis Becha. It could be the Zaydis Tzum. It could, whatever it is, everybody has that precious thing that you don't sell. You don't sell your children. And you don't sell those things that are very precious to you. So Yankiv Zatzal said a beautiful thought. He said that there was so much Ava that went into the Mishkan that Klal Yisrael were never ready to give up the Mishkan. They were never ready to give it up. Ever. And Mimele, even when our Averis piled up, the most we were ready to do was to mortgage it. The word Mishkan comes from the Lashon Mashkin. Mashkin is a collateral. Right? Your house, if you're in debt, you'll take a mortgage against your house. But you're not ready to say, it's not my house anymore. I want my house. I'll take a mortgage. Rabbi Yankov said, the reason why we never really lost the Beis HaMikdash, the reason why the Shechina never left, really, till today, the Shechina is with us, is because we never were ready to give it up. So much Ava went into the building of the Mishkan that became our Sherish. The Mishkan made the Mikdash our Sherish. And because of that, we were never ready to give it up. Because we were never ready to give it up, Hashem never took it away from us. He took it only as a Mashkan. Hashem decided that this Mishkan I will never take away from you. So, you may have a churban, but that's just collateral. It's a mortgage. Still yours. Still yours. To re-af gamzois loy ma'astim v'loy ga'altim was all because of the ava that went into the Mishkan. Hashem decided now, so now it comes out gevaldik. When Chazal tell us the Mishkan never got destroyed, Chazal not telling us the wood. Chazal are telling us it's that ava that went into the Mishkan that made the Beis HaMikdash ultimately indestructible. The fact that the Shechina is still there today is because of the ava that went into the Mishkan. And that's why, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Remez l'mikdash nismashkein b'shnei chiborim. Never was destroyed, really. The Shechina always stayed. It became a mashkin. It became collateral. But we never lost the Mishkan. So now all the messages are saying the same thing. The HaMishkan, that this is the Mishkan that never got destroyed. And the Mishkan, which Rashi says is a remez to the fact that the Mishkan was taken away from us twice, is all saying one thing. It's saying that Hashem never took this Beis HaMikdash away. And He never took the Beis HaMikdash away from us because this was the Ava that went in. So I want to say like this. We know what's the difference between Maisa Odom and Maisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Chazal tell us, Maisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu could never be destroyed. Maisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu could never be destroyed. And that's why the Mishkan, the Shechina that came down in the Mishkan, the Eish, went from there to the Mishkan, went to Mishkan Shiloh. And then Chazal said that same fire went to the Beis HaMikdash. The Shechina never left. But the physical structure, we lost. But the Shechina stayed. So what did the Eibishter do? The first erection of the Mishkan, the Eibishter wanted to show us this is permanent. So what did he do? He made that it was Hukam HaMishkan, that he himself put it up, to show us that this could never be destroyed. And that was why the Eibishter, even though the Mishkan by definition was a portable Mishkan, and it was designed that you could, Bas Avadon could put it up. But the Eibishter made that the very first erection of the Mishkan was Maisa Hashem to be Miramis to us that will never be destroyed. So two things happened there. Number one, the Eibishter wanted Moshe to have a chelik. That's number one. And that's why the Shechina putting it up still was through Moshe. For the same thing Hashem could have had Bezalel make with his hands and it would have gone up. But no, Moshe should be the one. But at the same time, the Eibishter wanted to make the Mishkan into a binyan shel kayama, which will ultimately be the energy that will cause the Beis HaMikdash never be destroyed. So that first hakama was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu.